Welcome to Postcards to the Universe with Melissa Caprio. Do you believe in magic? What if you were told that all you had to do was get a little creative and work a magic spell to bring anything you can imagine into your life? Here on Postcards to the Universe, we will share manifesting, tips, postcards, creativity, abundance, and prosperity. Here is your host, Melissa Caprio.
Hey guys, and welcome to Postcards to the Universe with Melissa, creating the life you crave. How are you guys doing? I hope everybody's doing well. Is everybody getting into the holiday spirit? I hope that you are. I can't believe it's December and the year is almost over. Just crazy, crazy. I'm really excited about my show today because I have somebody who's become a very dear friend of mine. She's also an author and a home chef, Mole Mamas, Diana Silva, as my guest, and she's going to join me in just a couple of minutes. To my regulars, I just want to say thank you so much for listening to me each week and sending me messages that you really like my show and you enjoy the guests that I have. It means the world to me. And if you're joining me for the first time, welcome, welcome, and welcome. And I hope you keep coming back. I hope you enjoy my show today. And if you do and you want to listen to some more shows, you can always find the shows up on the archives on Om Times Radio. We put all the shows up so you can listen at your leisure, or you can also find them on my website under podcasts, and I have every show that I record each week, and I load it up there too, so you can listen to it anytime you want. And just a little bit about me, we're going to be talking a lot about manifesting today with my guest, Diana, so I'm excited. But I created something called Postcards to the Universe, Harness the Universe's Power and Manifest Your Dreams, which is also the title of my book. And it's all about manifesting the life that we want, right? We want abundance in different areas of our life, and usually it's in love and money and career and our health. We want to bring more abundance in those areas. So my book is based on that, and there's 30 manifesting stories along with the photographs, because I'm also a photographer, that I took of each contributor's manifesting postcard. And my guest, Mole Mama Diana, is in my book, actually. She's one of the stories in my book. And we're going to be talking about her postcard today and how pretty much everything she put on it has come to fruition. So it's really, really going to be a fun show. But I also, in the book, include a bunch of writing exercises, and it helps us get clear on what you want to manifest and what we want to manifest. And I have so many fun exercises on how to bring in more abundance in the areas of love and money and health and career and so much more. So I hope that piques your interest, and if you want to find out more, you can always find the book on Barnes & Noble or Amazon.com, or ask your favorite bookstore, and they'll get it for you. But what I started doing is I started doing some live readings from my book, and I'm releasing, it seems like it's about one a week. They're just about 5 minutes long, each video, and sometimes I'll have to do three for one person's story, but yeah, so that way you can follow along and see. And I also started re-photographing all the postcards that are in the book. So as I'm doing the readings, I'm re-photographing each week the postcards, and it's been a lot of fun. And I always have an affirmation, or the person's affirmation, if I'm re-photographing the postcards. And this week's just happens to be someone who her story is about, it's her affirmation is uncovering your elephant. And really what it's about is, you know, let's talk about the elephant in the room and whatever that secret is that you have inside yourself that you want to keep hidden. She brings it all out to the forefront. So you can follow along and see more about that. I keep asking people to send me manifesting postcards each week. You can find out how and where to do that. If you go to postcardstotheuniverse.com, it has the address and how to make a postcard and send it to me. And I have a couple of workshops going on right now. One is called Manifesting Through Gratitude, a Visual Journey, and it's Thursday evening, 6 to 8. p.m. online, and it's about using gratitude to help us manifest in those things that we want and that we want to bring more of into our life. And the cool thing about it is it's five classes start to finish, and then the workshop rolls over. Beautiful gratitude journal, so that will be really, really nice. And yeah, so check it out. And then I also have another one that is 3 hours long. It's called Put Your Wishes to Work and Manifest the Life That You Desire. And that is January 6th. And it's 1 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time. And we are going to be working on a manifesting postcard. And what do you want to bring in 2024, right? So that'll be pretty exciting. So check it out. If you want more information, just go to postcardstotheuniverse.com, and the workshops are listed over there. All right. So I think that's everything that I wanted to tell you guys before I started talking to my friend, Miss Diana. So let me read you her bio, because it's pretty incredible, all the stuff that she is doing and has been doing. All right. Diana Silva, Mole Mama, is a San Diego-based author, home chef, vlogger, speaker, and podcaster. She recently competed on Food Network's Guys Grocery Games 5-episode home chef tournament. And just a little side note, I watched it, and it's really awesome. And you can go and look it up, and you guys can watch it. Her most cherished kitchen tool is her abuelita's magical molcajete, which she uses daily. Her culinary training began when she was 9 years old, on the day her mama asked her to help make flour tortillas. Crunchy tacos stuffed with creamy mashed potatoes are her all-time favorite taco and her most viewed YouTube video with over 250,000 views. She grew up on a California dairy farm and has always loved cooking, hosting taco parties, and eating. Mole Mama recipes, YouTube cooking videos, and podcasts celebrate family recipes, cooking delicious meals at home and adding love to every recipe. Along with her guest chefs, Mole Mama explores recipes and traditions from around the world and the stories that keep them alive. Most of her podcasts will make you hungry, and you may find yourself dancing in your kitchen to salsa music. Mole Mama calls for everyone to return to their kitchens and preserve their living and past ancestors' favorite recipes and stories for future generations. She says, "We must preserve our cultures and not let those favorite recipes disappear forever. The common thread of every cherished family recipe is that they were homemade with love, and that's the real secret ingredient. For many home chefs, cooking is their preferred love language, and that's why we cherish their recipes. Their love has the power to transcend an ordinary recipe into magic." Mole Mama's new book, it was just released, is titled Abuelita's Magical Mocajete, and it is a fun, magical, heartwarming romance filled with delicious Mexican food, meddling ghosts, and hope. And if you want to know more about her, you got to check out her website, because she has all of this information on her website. It's www.molemama.com. Welcome, Diana.
Thank you, Melissa. It's so great to be here. I'm so grateful for all of your support and for introducing me to your fabulous movement.
Thank you. So, yeah, so Diana and I have become friends really through our books, truthfully, her working on her first book and me working on postcards, and we connected and stayed very, very good friends, and the friendship has just grown over how many years now? 7 years now, I guess around?
Yeah. Yes, I think so.
So Diana created a postcard very early when I just kind of launched this and what I was doing. And Diana, I found your postcard before the show, so I have it. It's just amazing. So everything you put on this postcard has pretty much come true. There's just one thing missing. Do you know what it is? Do you remember?
I don't remember.
Okay. Well, your newest book just came out, so we'll give it a little time. New York Times bestseller.
Okay,
right? Everything else is. So she has on her postcard faith, blog posts, live events, delicious recipes, joy, love, abundance, hugs, funds, monthly visits to her YouTube channel, trust, and the last one, you have TV, and you were just on TV.
I know. It's just absolutely amazing. And for anybody listening, I am not artistic. Okay. So I'm talking to Melissa, who's this phenomenal photographer. And I had so much resistance to doing this card because I can't draw. And so if you see the picture of my card, it really looks like, you know, maybe a first grader drew this. So for me to have had so much resistance about it and now for everything basically to have happened, it's amazing. It's just remarkable.
It really is. Yeah. And I told her, it's not about being a good artist or drawing or, you know, yes, some artists send me their cards and they're visually stunning and beautiful and everything. And that's great because, you know, I love it, of course. But it's really about what you put, the desire that you put into your card. You know, you're launching your desire out into the universe and then taking the inspired action to make that come to you. So why don't you share with everybody who's hearing about you for the first time, like, what is Molly Mama? Why did you start it? Why did you create this? What is it, you know, what's your message and that you want to share with everybody?
So Molly Mama is all about connecting with food and with other people. The central theme really is about home cooking, entertaining, finding joy in home cooked meals. And the reason why I started it, Melissa, was because many years ago I had the idea. I was working for really big technology companies in Silicon Valley that I kept pitching this idea to about really having a brand that was focused on family recipes, because everybody that I've ever met that's into food is always telling me about their favorite tia or their favorite aunt or their grandmother's some dish, right? And so that's really what I am trying to do with my business, is really to help people just cherish their families or their friends or their recipes. Because there's something magical about when we sit down and we share a meal together, and especially that meal is home cooked.
Right.
So that's really what I'm trying to do.
Yeah. And you're trying to do it with from your family's heritage. You're Mexican and Portuguese. Is that what your lineage is?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So, and the mojarrete is really important. So why don't you share with everybody about the mojarrete? Because first of all, you cook in it, and also it's in the title and about in this book that was just released. So it's really important. So tell us what it is. Cause people are like, what the heck's a mojarrete? You know, for those of us who don't know.
So thank you. It's basically a pestle and mortar, and it's very, very popular home cooking tool that Mexican families have been using for thousands of years. And it's made out of volcanic rock. And when my abuelita Magdalena, so my grandmother, immigrated to this country from Mexico to the United States to the California border that she crossed illegally, she was carrying one suitcase, and in it was her mojarrete. And so I have that mojarrete. It was given to my mother, and my mother passed it to me. And as Melissa said, I definitely use it to cook dishes in. Probably the two most popular dishes that I use or I make is the queso fundido, which is a spicy cheese dip sauce that Melissa, I know you love. I actually took you some when I saw you last week. And I also make a tequila prawns dish, and it's really good. But because it's made of rock, it really holds that heat really well. So if you put a cheese dip in it, it's going to stay warm for a really long time. But it's also great for grinding up spices. You can make other salsas in it. So I use it all the time for garlic. I smash my garlic in it, and it's loud and makes a lot of noise. And I love the way it sounds. So anyway.
Yeah. No, I know. It's pretty, which we're going to talk about your latest book in just a bit, but it's, it's pretty amazing because I never really knew what one was until I saw Diana actually cooking with it and grinding up all the spices and the garlic. And when it's really heavy, and when you hold it and if you smell it, it's almost like you can smell the thousands of years of cooking that is just embedded in the rock, right? It is magical. Magical. It does have that magical quality. I know. Oh, okay. Yeah. So, tell us about how the Food Network found you for Guy's Grocery Games, because they found you, right?
Yes. So yeah. So what happened was, and I'm going to get a little bit emotional because I still can't really believe all this happened. In 2023, I was quite ill. I had to have 2 heart surgeries. I'm really well now. I'm all recovered, so I'm doing great, which is fantastic. But on the second day after my second heart surgery, the Food Network called me about being on the show. And Melissa, you know, I've been asked to be on other shows, and I've said no because I was afraid. But this time I was heavily medicated, so I said yes. I'd love to try out for the show. And 2 days later, I was on a video call, and again, heavily sedated. It went really well. But that is how I ended up being on Guy's Grocery Games. So unbelievable that this is how it happened. And the only reason why there was a yes in me is because I was drugged.
No, it's on your postcard, TV, yes. In capital letters. So it was there in, as those in the know heard, in the vortex, right? It was already in your vortex coming to you. So it just didn't manifest until it did, which is pretty amazing. And I watched it, so it was really good, by the way. And it's super, for those of us who are watching, super nail-biting, because the challenges are really, really intricate and interesting, and you have to do it fast. And how was that whole experience? Were you like out of body when you were doing it? Like, what was that like? Cause I was watching and I was like, oh my God, how I would never make it. I would have failed. I would have been kicked off the first one.
So for those of you that haven't watched it, you have to shop. So the set is a giant grocery store. So you shop for all your food. You have to, cook, and you have to play in 30 minutes. And every single time you cook, there's a game element to it. So like the first time I had to cook, I had a backpack and I had canned cheese in my backpack. So I had to make a dish with that. So it is really fast and it's very stressful. But Melissa, it was like one of the funnest things I've ever done in my life. And I was so surprised at how easy it was for me to talk on camera. That was the most surprising thing. And just be speaking with celebrities and just how easy that was and how joyful I was. But when I wasn't on camera, what I was doing in between episodes is I was meditating. I was asking all my ancestors and my mama, my tias and my abuelita to help me. And, you know, I was just in this interesting zone. And when I did get that first ingredient that I had to cook with, that canned cheese, I was like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do with this? And I do remember, I swear I heard my mother say, chorizo fixes everything, mija. So, you know, I'm like, okay, I know what I'm going to do. So I feel like I did have, because this is what I believe in, I do feel like I had that ancestral connection that was supporting me during that show, because I had been so sick.
Yeah, yeah, I think so too. And also, I think you were more prepared than you realized you were because of all the years of you doing the vlogging and and having your own showing yourself cooking on your YouTube. You know, you guys can check her out and you could see her videos. So you were already started to do the work and get used to it, right? And then you have interviewed other guest chefs. So I think that's like when people like put stuff down and they want to manifest, you know, they start from zero and they want to get to 100. Like they want that right away. And of course, it doesn't work that way. You know, you got to do it step by step, and everything is a building to the next level. It's taking us to the next level, to the next level. So I think of all the years of all the work that you've put in prepared you to be able to handle that being on that kind of show, because it's fast paced and it's a lot of pressure.
A lot.
And the other chefs, what was there? Six of you to start? Is that what it was? Seven of you to start. Everybody was pretty amazing. Like everybody's pretty popular on social media. Everybody was really amazing and they had a nice diversity to the chefs. So it was a really well put together show. And you were really happy with it when it was finished?
I was really happy with it, and everyone that I cooked with and the celebrity chefs, everybody was so kind, just incredibly kind. It was such a fun experience. And I want to go back to for a moment when you were talking about the stress of it. Mm-hmm. Because I had been so ill, I hadn't been able to grocery shop for 5 months leading up to the show.
Wow.
Because I couldn't push a cart without it impacting my heart. So when I found out I was going to be on the show, I had about 6 or 7 weeks to prepare, and I literally was doing training, pushing things, carrying my dog, whatever I could to get strong enough. So I think that's like part of the miracle is that I was there and I was running through the store.
I know.
But I was running. So I was just so happy to be well enough to do it.
Wow.
And so, yeah.
See, and I knew how ill you were because of you and I, like I said, we're friends. So I know what's going on with her, but I would never have known watching that show because yes, you guys were all like, you know, he would like joke. It's like 1, 2. And if he said go, you're supposed to go no matter where he says it in the sentence, everybody's taking off and I'm seeing you like running around. I wouldn't know what being, if I didn't know who you were and what was going on in your life that you were dealing with that at the same time. That's pretty incredible. That's amazing. And, you started with I want to talk a little bit about mole because that's your name, Mole Mama. Why mole? What is mole to you and your family?
So mole is a very traditional sauce that originated in Oaxaca. There's seven different types. And if you ever speak to a Mexican person that has mole in their family, they always tell you some story, and it's always the best mole they've ever had. It's their abuelitas, their grandmothers, or their mothers, or a tia, or a cousin. So it's really about the best of us. And so when I was thinking about a name for my brand, I feel like my mother made the best mole, just like so many others that might be listening. And so I really wanted to highlight something that's such a rich part of my culture. And also it's about the best and that connection to our ancestors. That's where Mole Mama came from.
I love it. Yeah. And we're going to talk. I don't want to get into the story because we're going to be coming up to a break in just a couple minutes and about your first book and, you know, with your mom and how this all started. But you told me just in us talking that you've always desired wanting to write. You've always wanted to be an author. You always wanted to be a writer. You always wanted to have a book. And now you have two, right? Like that was always niggling at you even since you were a kid?
For as long as I can remember.
Wow.
The earliest memories I have, I've always written little stories. Always.
Well, what's so interesting is, and people think like you have to just be one thing, right? Like you said, oh, I'm not artistic. But you are artistic. You're just not a painter. You don't draw. But your artistry is in your cooking, your food, and in your writing. You know, like people forget those things. You know, everybody thinks, oh, like I can't draw for crap, you know, like at all. But I still call myself an artist because I'm a photographer and I also write, right? So that makes me an artist. And you forget to add that your cooking is your artistry. I mean, what you put into it, it's the same thing that an artist puts into a canvas, don't you think?
I do. I'm learning to accept that.
You're like, yeah, that's true. Because I've watched her cook, and believe me, there is artistry in the magic of her cooking. I don't know, what was it, 4 or 5 years ago now? It was before COVID. I went out to visit Diana, and I did a photo shoot of all of her food. So for her book and her website and all that stuff. And it was so much fun because she cooked so many different Mexican dishes. And of course, after we photographed them, I got to eat them. So it was amazing. So I watched you. It's like a whole ritual. Like it's, you set the space. It's a whole ritual. So I can see that adding in the love is part of it.
Absolutely. And you made my food look more beautiful than it ever had. I think I cried when I saw your picture of my mole. I was like, what? It never looked like that ever when I photographed
Yeah,
it.
That's right. That's true. Oh my. And that's the first time I've ever had mole, homemade mole. I've never had it before. And it was delicious. Yeah, because in Florida, we don't have great Mexican restaurants, Mexican food here. So I got to taste the real deal. But I just looked at the time and I see that we're going to take our break. So let's take it now. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. And I want to talk about your book. So guys, stay tuned and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
Everyone has a story. I have a story. You have a story. We all have a story. As I see it, you have 3 choices. Allow your story to define you, use it to excuse you, or utilize it as a method to empower you. It's your life. You have the power. You choose. Rewrite your story on finduniquelyyou.com.
Hi, I'm Melissa Caprio from Postcards to the Universe, creating the life you crave. Do you believe in magic? What if I told you all you had to do was get a little creative and work a dream spell to bring anything you can imagine into your life? Well, guess what? I've got the spell for you. Postcards to the Universe, a global movement for manifestation, is a casting magical tool for you to use whenever you want. How does living in passion sound to you? Join me in my movement where you get to create in the magical playground. Let's think outside the box and do some playful conjuring. By casting out our desires with a manifesting postcard, we explore our hearts and allow the alchemy of our dreams to appear. And don't forget to tune in each week here on Om Times Radio with my show, Postcards to the Universe, Creating the Life You Crave at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. I share tips on creativity, abundance, and prosperity, and you will be introduced to the coolest guests, trailblazers, mystics, and creatives who enrich our lives. Hey, guys, and welcome back. If you're just joining me today, I have Mole Mama's Diana Silva as my guest, and she is an author, home chef, vlogger, speaker, and just does so many amazing things. And she was just on Food Network's Guys Grocery Games. It was really good. I mean, I swear to God, just go to your DVR, talk into you. I have the cable that you can talk into it, the microphone, and like say what you want to watch. So just do it because it's really good.
But Thank you.
It was. I recorded it every week because I didn't want to miss it because it was on, I think it was on Wednesday evenings, right? It was on Wednesday evenings, yes. I think. Yeah, yes. It was on Wednesday evenings. So yeah, I'm sure it's up that you can watch it. But I want to go back and I want to talk about your 2 books. So the first one, let's talk about the first book that you wrote as in tribute to your mom, called Mole Mama, A Memoir of Love, Cooking, and Loss. And share a little bit about that book, because the story, this is nonfiction, this one, and the story is really kind of amazing what you did. And and, you know, your connection with your mom. It kind of goes along with your cooking, you know, family and love and ancestry and recipes and the magic of all of that. So go ahead, share. Share with all of us.
Thank you, Melissa. So that book is really about how I managed to perfect my mother's recipes. So she was given 3 days to live, and she ended up living for 13 months. She was in hospice. And during that time, I made 40 visits to see her. So she was 4 hours away driving. I'd go on the weekends and cook all of her food. She'd been such a great home cook that she didn't want to eat anybody else's food. So she wanted her own food, which I completely understood. And it was a great gift for me to be able to cook for her. But when we had cooked together growing up my entire life, none of my family recipes had ever been written down. And one of the things that she always did was every time I left the room to go to the restroom really quick or check on something, I would come back. And if we were making chili beans, for example, all of a sudden they were a different color. And I was like, Mom, what did you do? Like, and she's like, oh, I added a little this, a little that, da, da, da. And I'm like, oh, no, now I missed what you've done. So when she was in that hospital bed, I was able to cook her food. And I was writing everything down, and I was taking her spoonfuls for her to taste. And so she helped me perfect them, because before then, they had never been written down. So that's what that story is about. And I had no idea, Melissa, that when I was going through this process with her, that someday this would be a book, and that someday I'd have a brand, and it would really highlight her recipes. And when I was on the Food Network and to see her picture on the Food Network, my Abuelita's picture and my Tia's, and to have, you know, that Food Network logo next to their photos, I was just like, oh, that touched my heart more than anything else, because those women, all of those women, especially my mother, it's like whoever came into our home, it was like, let me sit down and feed you. You know, and everywhere I went, I went with bags of burritos or bags of tacos to like share. It was just,
I love it.
It's just who they were. So that's what that book is really about, is how we said goodbye with food, basically, to each other.
Yeah, it's a beautiful book. And anybody who has lost somebody that they love will really feel this book deep in their heart, because you just know, right, when that person's no longer around. And it's such a tribute to your mom. And I think I remember, and your mom's name was Rose, right? Rosa? Mm-hmm. Rose? Yeah, Rose. Yeah. And I remember one time Diana and I were talking, and we were talking about her mom, and I remember getting this strong smell of roses. I don't know if you remember that. And I remember telling you, I don't have roses in my apartment. I don't have roses here right now. I don't know why your mom is here with us. I think we were talking. I think it was right after your book came out or something. And I was like, oh my God. Yeah, it's such a beautiful book, and the way that you laid it out. And then all the recipes are in the book for anybody who is interested in seeing the recipes that you guys cooked with your mom. You have it all. You have it all in there for anyone, correct?
Yes, I do.
Yes. Yeah, I love it. Oh my God, it's such a good. So, when did you write this one? This was how many years ago now? 4 or 5 years ago now?
6 years ago. I wrote
no.
It. Yes.
My God, time is flying. It's crazy.
I know.
Oh my God, but the book that just came out a couple of weeks ago is a different kind of a book, and it is fiction. It's considered a novel fiction, but it's very much based on people, like there's influenced by your family and tradition and all that stuff, right? Abuelita's Magical Mocajete.
Yes, it is.
I love it. Yes. It's so good. It really, really is good. I got to read it early on, and then I got to read it again after the edits, and now I'm in the process of listening to it on Audible, which is my favorite way to read, is listening. So, and it's really, really fantastic. Okay, so share with us what a little bit about Abuelita's Magical Mocajete is about.
So it's basically about a woman who's experienced a really severe grief and loss, and she starts getting visited by her abuelita and her abuelita's eight sisters, her grandmother and eight of her aunts. And they come to her in the middle of the night, and they travel through a Molcajete from the other side, and they're there for 5 hours once a month, and they give her cooking lessons, and they're meddling, and they smoke cigars, and they drink tequila, and they basically transform her life, and they really help her get through this grief and to really discover and find herself again after she loses her twin sister. So that's the story. So it definitely, I think, pulls at your heartstrings, and it's fun and it's hopeful and there's romance and there's lots and lots of food, so lots of Mexican parties and dances and, you know, but, that's basically the story.
Yeah, there's definitely lots of food. Boy, they know how to do it right in Mexico, right? I swear to God. But what's so good about it is that so the protagonist is dealing with grieving. She's grieving, but it's not a sad book. It's a hopeful book. It's like, and meeting the Tias. The Tias are hilarious, by the way. All the old Tias who come through, and they transport themselves through the Molcajete. They come through the Molcajete to her to help her. And they're based on your real Tias, right? Like with
they
including
are.
Their and then did you actually use their names, their actual names, or did you change them? You used their names. I love
it. Their real names. So all the Tias and my abuelita are all based on real people that I grew up cooking with, and Tia Rosa is my mother. Mm-hmm. So she's one of the Tias, but it was so fun to hang out with them again. It really was. I really felt like I was cooking with them. And, you know, just these women that I love so much, and they all had very distinct, strong personalities. I did take a lot of creative liberties, but there's some things in there that there's different scenes, but I think they would have done some of those things, even though given the right circumstances, I could see some of them behaving rather poorly and doing some of those things.
Yeah. They're very, very funny. And for anybody listening who can think of an aunt or your grandmother who was a character, like I have those in my family, and I think of my grandmother, my mom, Eileen, and Aunt Betty, and they were sisters, and my Aunt Louise, and when the three of them were together, the trouble that they would get in with me in tow as a little kid, you know, like it's just like it just such resonated with me so much. But I love that they were so like it. Okay, so I was explaining. All right, so let me try to say what I want to say. So when Diana and I were together, like I said, I read the book a couple of times. It changed for me this time because the first time I read it, I hadn't lost my sister yet. The second time I read it was after my sister passed away. And the main character is grieving the loss of her twin sister and nieces. And she's deep in deep grief, and you're watching how her family helps her through beyond, right? And food, with food and love, heal from that. So it gave me such a different, I had such a different perspective on it than from the first time I read it. Like it touched me so much deeper. In fact, I started tearing up when I was talking to her at lunch. I was like crying. I'm like, because now I know what that feels like to be grieving the loss of a sister, right? And looking for what heals you. And it's funny too. And then you throw in the love story and the recipes. It's like has everything. But tell everybody about how you experienced it writing it. And how that process happened, because that was also pretty significant for you in the writing it.
Oh, it was So in November of 2020, during the height of the pandemic, I ended up in the emergency room with my heart condition. And I knew I just needed some medication and I'd be fine. But it was really crazy just because of everything going on and all the people that had COVID that were in the hospital at the time. And I was really scared. And I remember asking myself, you know, if you only had 1 year left to live, what would you be doing? And I heard so loud and so strong that you'd be writing every day. Because when I'd written my first book, I felt so connected and alive and just excited about what I was working on. And then I asked the question again, because I'm like, I'm sure that can't be right, be writing. So I asked again, and it was, you'd be writing every day. So I was released from the hospital later that evening. The next morning, I woke up at 5:30 in the morning. I have a writing space in my house, and I had my little dog, Sophia, with me. And I started out by saying, by typing on my laptop, I'm answering my divine call to be a writer, guide me and help me. And so I started typing, and the first thing that I heard was the banging of a molcajete. And this story just unfolded. And so every morning I would get up and I would write and I would reconnect, and I would start that writing exercise by asking for guidance and to reconnect me. And for many months, it did not have a title. There was no outline. And I just had the date, November 30th of 2020. That was the title of the book for a long time. And then when I got to 30,000 words, I called our writing coach, and I'm like, you know, I think I have a story here that might be kind of fun. So, but the thing that also was happening was that I, as this story was unfolding, and I was, the main character was learning how to cook with her abuelita and tias, like when she learns how to make tortillas, harina, flour tortillas, and she's covered in flour. And, you know, just funny things would happen. And my husband would come down and I'd be laughing. He's like, what are you laughing at? You know, in front of my laptop. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, you're not going to believe what the tias did today. And he's looking at me like, what is wrong with my wife? You know, so...
And now that I know your husband, I can really picture it. But it's almost like the tias were channeling the book through you as you were writing the story about the tias channeling the cooking through Maria, you know, in the story, right? Like, it was like, okay, like they were with you, like they showed up with you every morning at 5:30, which I commend you for doing that and being that committed, by the way.
Well, and I would just write for an hour before I started my work day. But, you know, towards the end, like they were getting me up at 3:00 in the morning because they just wanted me to finish it. And I was dying to see how it was going to end too. But I swear I heard them. I know I sound a little bit, you know, out there, but I really feel like they channeled the story to me. Like it was downloaded, like you said. It was just, passed through me.
Yeah, I think so too. And when you read it and the fact that you got so much joy out of doing it, see, that's what's so important that I try to talk to, like when I'm doing the workshops or whatever I'm doing, like to with people is to find the joy in the act of creating what it is you want, right? Like we know, we see the big picture. You saw the book finished. You saw the story. You saw yourself holding it in your hands, right? But the joy that you felt while you were creating it is really where the power is. It's not in the outcome. It's in the creating of it that we feel that we raise our vibration and we feel all that energy. And that's what the universe responds to. And I don't think a lot of people understand that, right?
Absolutely. It's not forced. It's just so easy. There's ease in it. And I can't remember who it was that told me this, but they said, find those moments that make your heart smile and do more of that.
Yeah. No, that's so important because, you know, we all have our list of have-tos, right? I have to do this. I have to show up for this. I have to get this done. I have to be a responsible adult. I have to do all these things. But we need more of the I want to. Like, I remember talking to you And I remember her saying, I can't wait to see how this is going to end. And I'm thinking, what do you mean you can't wait to see? You're the writer. What do you mean? Don't you know? And she's like, no, I really don't. And I loved that you got to be surprised, that you surprised yourself, you know, in how the story wrapped up. Yeah, I love that. It was wild to me.
Absolutely. Yeah, I did not know. And even I've read it, you know, it's over 80,000 words, and I probably know most of it by heart at this point. I've edited it and worked on it so much. But even when I listened to the audiobook, the final version of it recently in the last few weeks, I was laughing out loud. And I cried a couple of times. And so there's something about it where I feel like, yes, I'm the author, but I didn't create this alone. No way.
Right. Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I love the narration. The narrator, she's amazing. She's wonderful. She really connects you to the characters in the book. And that's what makes a good narrator. When you feel like, you know, that's what the thing in magic of books for me. And Diana's a huge reader like I am. We talk a lot about the books we're listening to. It's like you get sucked right into the story. And that's the best kind of book. It's like you're in it, right? I love it.
Agreed. Agree.
Absolutely. It. Well, I told her at lunch that I really believe that I could see this picked up as a series on one of the streaming platforms because it's so rich and it can go so much and it's got all the elements in it. It's got, you know, drama, grief, love, the love story and the fantasy and the magical part and the cooking. And it's just like it touches on all the points that we can all relate to, you know, having this human experience. So I can really see it. So I said it to her at lunch and now I'm saying it on the air on December 13th, 2023. So I tell her, remember me, don't forget me when they're making your show.
No. And I just really appreciate your support so much. It's just meant so much to me. And you've been on this ride with me from the very beginning, which is really great. I mean, you're one of the few people that I was talking to all the time about writing this book and what was happening. And you were just so encouraging and supportive. So I'm so grateful for that. Thank you.
Oh, well, thank you. I am so excited to see everything that's manifested for you. And that's why I tell people it's really powerful if you put your dreams on a tiny little postcard and you send it out and you believe that it's possible and you take the steps, just take a few steps every day to work towards that, you'll be amazed at what shows up in your life. And Diana is living proof. She's living proof because she didn't have any of this. You didn't have any of this when you made the postcard.
None of it. None of it. No. And I knew, I think at that time I was working on my first book, so I had no idea that there was going to be another book.
Yeah.
And now I've already started on the sequel of this book. So yeah,
I know.
More books, so.
And there, because there's so many good characters. I mean, there's so many good characters that you can just keep spinning on to a new story. So this could, you never know where this could take you. So that would be amazing. So do you want me to read what you wrote, that you actually wrote on the back of the postcard? Do you remember?
No, please read it.
Okay. You wrote, "Dear Universe, I'm so grateful for all the fun, abundance, love, financial security, joy I'm having living my dream with Mole Mama. I've met the most amazing people, eaten so much fabulous food, and so moving to hear the stories of everyone's loved ones, recipes, memories, and all the new memories. This movement of love is what I was meant to do on this planet, and I am beyond joyful that this is my path. Amen, and thank you, universe." Okay. Pretty amazing, right? That's why I waited till the end, because I had a feeling you would cry.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing? I know. Amazing. I know.
Wow.
I know. And that's what happens when we live our dream, right? Like, it doesn't mean that, you know, you know, when you have a dream, that just because you're doing something else, you should just cast it aside. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter, you know, where you are in the world. It doesn't matter how much responsibility you have, you know, family that you have to take care of. Because it's not like you had to give up your career of your work to make this happen. No. You were doing this concurrently together, yeah, so that you could still live your dream while you were taking care of other things. And I think a lot of us make excuses because we're afraid. Don't you think?
Oh, yes. Definitely you're afraid. And I would say that for me, because I had said no to so many different shows, mm-hmm, and I'd heard of that thing where you're afraid of the success.
Yeah.
Definitely. Definitely guilty.
Yeah.
Definitely guilty.
Yeah. Yeah, because what does that mean? I mean, I always look at, I feel like it fits my personality, like the Gemini, two sides of the coin. On the one side, I'm afraid of failure. Then on the other side, I'm afraid of success, mm-hmm, right? Like I go back and forth. And I think that we're afraid of success because it could mean our life could change.
Yes, I would agree. And also, I think it's really believing that you're providing value into the world.
Mm.
I think that's been something,
yeah,
I've really struggled with because I'm like, oh, I'm a little cooking brand.
Right.
And I have said that so many times. And it's actually my husband, Sean, who is like, why do you refer to yourself as little? Why do you do that?
I love that Sean tells you that. Good,
so
Sean. Thank you.
For anybody listening, if you have a dream, don't think of it as little. It is what you're supposed to be doing. And it is something that I think that I really finally believe in. And when I was on the cooking show, my face hurt from smiling at the end of those long days of filming.
Wow.
And I was like, wow, I am doing this thing that's so hard, physically hard, stressful.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so filled with joy.
Yeah, love that. And that's what we want, more joy. So where do you want to take Molly Mama next? I know you have some things that you envision, you see happening from this moment, from this point. What's coming next?
Well, okay, I'm going to say it. I'm going to put it out there.
Put it out there. Go.
All right.
Say it.
So eventually I want to have my own cooking show on TV.
Yes, you need to. And we were talking this weekend and how many women chefs have their own show that anybody can think of. Let me know. Let Diana know, besides Rachel Ray. Let us know, because we couldn't think of anybody else, right? They're all men. So,
Yes.
And especially, especially a woman who is Mexican. I mean,
right.
Even better.
Right.
Right. Yes. I love it. Okay, good. Yes. So now you put it out to the universe. You said it on live radio. You said it.
I said it on this day. Okay.
I said it. Everybody heard it. So it's just a matter of when we turn on the Food Network and see your show.
Well, oh my God. I want to continue to inspire others to follow their dreams and also to connect with people that they love. That's really important to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think that's why people resonate with you so much, because it's genuine, it's authentic, and it really is about family and love and connection. You know, that's what your whole brand is really about. I mean, you're not BSing anyone, you know? It's not just to get recognition. No, that's not what it's about. And people know that. I think people can see the difference. People can sense when you're authentic and when you're full of it. So it's really genuine what you're doing. And I love that it started with your mom and your story. That was your first big release of Molly Mama, was your mom and your story together, right? So it makes perfect sense.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Diana, if anybody wants to like reach out to you, or any home chefs listening and would love to talk to you, where can they connect with you?
So the best way to find me is at mollymama.com or on Instagram, mole_mama, Facebook. I'm there as well, or YouTube. So please reach out. I would love to connect with you. And Melissa, I can't thank you enough for all of your support. And this is my very first podcast talking about my new book. So thank you for giving me.
Oh my God. You're welcome. I love you so much. All right, guys.
I love you too.
Thank you for listening to Postcards to the Universe with Melissa, Creating the Life You Crave. And I'm wishing everyone a wonderful week filled with joy, abundance, and love. Peace.